Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the All Cargo Logistics Limited Q4 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by PhillipCapital India Private Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company which are based on the beliefs, opinions and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vikram Vilas Suryavanshi from PhillipCapital India Private Limited. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Faizan. Good morning and very warm welcome to everyone. Thank you for being on the call of All Cargo Logistics Limited. We are happy to have the management with us here today for question and answer session with the investment community. Management is represented by Mr. Ravi Jhakar, Chief Strategy Officer, and Mr. Deepal Shah, Chief Financial Officer. Before we start with question and answer session, we'll have opening comments from the management. Now I hand over the call to Mr. Ravi Jhakar for the opening comment. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Vikram. This is Ravi here. I hope that all of you and your families are safe and healthy. On behalf of All Cargo Logistics Limited, I extend a very warm welcome to all participants on this call for discussing the fourth quarter and the financial year 22 financial results. As mentioned by Vikram, I am joined with my colleague, Mr. Deepal Shah. I also hope that everyone has had an opportunity to go through our investor presentation and the press release that we have uploaded on the exchanges and also shared on our website. I'm really pleased to talk about this year's performance, which has been a historic year for us at All Cargo Logistics, wherein we witnessed significant momentum across our businesses. It is important to note that while the numbers represent the story of the year gone by, in reality, this is an outcome of transformational programs and strategic initiatives undertaken by the group over the last few years, which have come to a full play in the financial year 22, providing strong momentum to various businesses across all segments. Specifically speaking about quarter four, there were some challenges in terms of minor disruptions in the express business in the month of January, with some COVID-related disruptions and slowdown in the north part of India. On the global scene, usually February being a Chinese New Year is generally lower as compared to the Christmas high season of October to December quarter. This time there was also a lockdown in Shanghai, so therefore the volumes and the performance in China was somewhat muted. But despite all these challenges on the macroeconomic front, further impacted by the geopolitical situation in Ukraine, it provided some sort of headwinds to the business. But despite those strong headwinds, the business has managed to perform very well and we recorded the highest ever Q4 performance, making significant improvements year on year in this quarter. I would like to highlight the key pillars of growth that we are driving at All Cargo. To begin with, over the last few years, we have been prioritizing and reorganizing our businesses, and we had shared last quarter when in the month of December we launched the demerger plan to restructure some of our businesses, which would provide them greater financial flexibility and strategic independence, thereby fueling higher growth momentum. We had spoken about demerging the TransIndia Realty, which is the real estate logistics park business of the group, which moves out of logistics by way of that demerger. We also spoke about the CFS ICD business being demerged into All Cargo Terminals, leaving All Cargo Logistics to be a completely asset-light, digitally-enabled company with businesses underlying with EQ Worldwide, which is the international supply chain business, contract logistics business, which is housed under ACCI at the moment, and the express logistics business and e-commerce business, which is undertaken with Gati and the GKEPL, which is a subsidiary of Gati. We have also notified in the recent past that the board has approved that management should evaluate further, and in discussion with our joint venture partners, which is KWE, who is our joint venture partner in GKEPL, which is a subsidiary of Gati, to explore and evaluate if there are any further rational steps to be taken in context of restructuring, which we are evaluating, and we shall share updates with everyone as we come to some conclusion. The idea is very simple, to keep the structure simple and enable businesses to grow in the best way possible. And in trying to achieve these simple structures and prioritizing these businesses, it is also equally important to continue to divest the businesses which are not on the priority landscape. In this context, while the four businesses, which is international supply chain, the CFS ICD business and excess logistics business, and the fourth contract logistics business, we have continued to see significant momentum in growth, and my colleague Deepal will talk further about that in some time. We have also continued the path on divesting smaller businesses, which we started with some subsidiaries in Gati. Subsequently, the cold chain business was also divested in the past 12 months gone by. We subsequently sold off the project transportation business, which is another non-core business, which is also announced as a transaction. I'm glad to share that has been completed. My colleague will also share updates on the logistics past related transactions and when he gives an overview of the business. But primarily, on the business side, we are clearly focusing on the four core businesses which are being driven further by transformation and digitization. So once we have these prioritized businesses identified, over the last few years, we have really transformed these businesses, undertaking a disruptive approach. In the international supply chain business, we have led a significant program for digitization. A few years ago, perhaps about 3 or 3.5 years ago, there was a single-digit number for bookings done through our EQ360 platform. Today, I'm glad to share that almost 60% of all our key export bookings across the world happen through digital platform or digital interchanges. Further, the sales acceleration, which is also a part of the transformation initiative, and the reorganization to build it as a truly world-class global organization has also paid dividend, which we have witnessed in the strong growth we have seen over the last 2 years. On the India side, we have turned around Gati and the underlying GKEPL business with significant initiatives, bringing down debt, improving operational capabilities, making the company much more efficient. And as we move forward, we are expanding the infrastructure, opening new high-quality transshipment centers and hubs, which will enable the next phase of growth. On the contract logistics business, we have continued the momentum now over a good 3-year horizon, wherein the business has continued to gain new customers, build new quality infrastructure, and operate them as an asset-light contract logistics company. On the CFS ICD business, the FY22 year also witnessed a very strategic acquisition of Speedy Multimodes, providing undisputed leadership in the CFS markets to all cargo logistics and providing a stronger platform for growth from here on. So with this, I'm glad to share that all the businesses have very positive momentum. The transformation initiatives have largely been completed. And as we move forward, we are looking at the next phase of transformation when we are evolving our financial systems, digital ERPs, and host of other tools such as using data science models to optimize networks, be it the excess logistics business in India or be it the international supply chain business globally. And with these initiatives, we are confident of continued positive momentum, which should allow all these four core businesses to continue to grow faster than market, thereby enabling improvement in market share for us, even in businesses we are already market leaders, such as being the number one player in the global LCL trade and being the number one CFS operator. And we expect that the market share should increase across all businesses. Now, to specifically talk about the business highlights and the financial performance for the quarter 4 and FY22, I invite my colleague, Deepal. Thank you. Over to you, Deepal.
Thank you, Ravi. I will now discuss the financial year 22 performance. All Cargo Logistics reported consolidated revenue of 20,000 crores, for the year and EBITDA stood at 1516 crores. Profit before tax stood at 1186 crores, including 81 crores share of profit from associates and JVs. This has been the best ever performance recorded by the company, setting stage for next phase of growth on the back of strategic acquisitions, transformational and digital initiatives undertaken by the company. There has been a sustained increase in revenues coming through digital platform EQ360, which now accounts for almost 60% of export bookings across all key markets. The company has divested in the project transportation business in line with the asset-light strategy and made strategic positions in India and across the world. Just to highlight some thoughts on the presentation format, as you've seen, we have attempted to give you a simple disclosure on an indicative basis of what the demerged entities would typically look like. But please note that this is purely indicative and it would vary as we go along. Now I would like to discuss the performance of each of the business segments in detail for the quarter, starting with the MTO business, the International Supply Chain business. The International Supply Chain business, which is the MTO segment, operating under the EQ Worldwide, witnessed robust growth on the back of volume growth driven by expansion in market share and favorable market conditions. Company set up a JV in Scandinavian region, which you're aware, which has grown significantly post-acquisition, and the EQ Worldwide is now a 40% market leader in Sweden, Norway, Finland and Denmark. The JV in South Korea also performed exceedingly well, along with key regions like India, China, Europe, Americas, all exhibiting best ever business performances. MTO segment reported a revenue of 17,643 crores, higher by 109% year-on-year, against an 8,449 crore from the corresponding year. EBITDA stood at 1,305 crores, a growth of 186% as compared to 456 crores from the previous year. The ROCE for the international MTO business improved to its highest levels of 52.1% in FY22. Now, that was the year. Now, for the Q4 FY22, MTO segment reported a revenue of 5,122 crores, higher by 88% year-on-year, and EBITDA stood at 403 crores, a growth of 170%. Moving on to the CFS business and the ICT business, the CFS and ICT business was bolstered with acquisition of Speedy Multimodes, and the company is now a market leader on the private side in the CFS business in India, with presence across major gateway ports of India. Volumes handled through the year increased by 59%, those includes the Speedy acquisition volumes as well, at 4.5 lakh TEUs, as against 2.82 lakh TEUs handled last year. CFS and ICT vertical reported a gross revenue of 578 crores, growth of 25% year-on-year, against 464 crores in the corresponding previous year. EBITDA stood at 155 crores, compared with FY21 of 176 crores. ROCE for the business stood at a healthy 27%. For Q4 FY22, CFS ICD vertical reported revenue of 172 crores, registering a growth of 31% year-on-year. EBITDA stood at 41 crores, lower by 11% YOY, and EBITDA margin stood at 23% for the Q4 FY22. Going on to the Express Logistics business, the Express Logistics business under Gati's umbrella, subsidiary GKEPL, reported its highest ever volume of FY22. The company is building quality infrastructure to drive next phase of growth. For the year FY22, the revenue stood at 1,489 crores as compared to 1,300 crores in the FY21, thus registering a growth of 13% YOY. The market share loss has bottomed, we believe, in Gati, and with revised focus and new management team in place, we believe it's poised to deliver a turnaround in FY23. As Ravi highlighted, we are evaluating various restructuring options here with our JV partner, and we would keep you updated with the same. Contract logistics and rental and other businesses. The contract logistics business successfully diversify across new industry segments like auto, FMCG, pharma to record highest ever revenue and profit growth. The business is under the ACCI umbrella, where All Cargo owns 61% shareholding. ACCI also has a customs clearance business, which is under process of demerger. ACCI contract logistics businesses command higher margin basis its market leadership in chemical warehousing. The company provides grade A customized warehousing solutions, managing almost 5 million square feet. ACCI witnessed a 49% growth in revenue and a 42% EBITDA growth. Under the projects and engineering solutions business, which would be now engineering solution, as you are aware that we are hiving off the project business, we have been constantly reducing the capital employed. We are doing away with the non-productive cranes, and we're bringing in, I mean, retaining only the very productive cranes. So with that, there has been an improvement in the EBITDA margin, and at the exit level, the crane utilization, the equipment utilization stood at a record of 90% levels. We have been consistently providing other key comparative performance indicators in our investor presentation. One can refer that for more details. With this, I would like to open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their desktop telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 at this time. The first question is from the line of Siddharth Oberoi from Prudent Equity. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hey, good morning. So, in your opening remarks, you had said that the performance was muted due to the China lockdown as well. In China, the Shanghai lockdown started on March 20th. So, you know, is this effect on the 10-11 day period? And that is so when, you know, the lockdown lasted for the next first quarter as well. So are you expecting a very big major impact in volumes in this Q1?
Yeah, so I would take that up. To share with you, like I mentioned, there has been an impact of lockdown. And while Shanghai lockdown has been the most prominent one, which has continued for a longer period of time, there were other minor lockdowns as well in other provinces in China. However, as I also highlighted, that the performance has been an extremely positive performance despite all these headwinds. Today, the business of EQ Worldwide is highly diversified with significant distribution of revenue across all geographies. So while some partial lockdowns such as in Shanghai may hamper the growth prospects as the entire global trade sees a little bit of a muted growth, we do not see that one geography making a significant impact on the overall volumes. So it would be a contributing factor to limiting the growth as the trade itself slows down out of China. But beyond that, it is not going to have a significant impact as such.
All right. You know, also, you know, Mrs. Parthasarathy was on TV the other day, and then he said that the company is operating at almost 90% capacity utilization. You know, so I just wanted to know, you know, where do you see the growth coming from for the growth? Is it acquisition? Is it going more further into digital or where?
No, so let me highlight, there seems to be some confusion. I'll clarify what that number was. The largest business of the company is international supply chain, which is completely asset-light. It is like Uber of shipping. We do not own any ships, but we operate dedicated services. So, in fact, we run direct trade lanes at nearly 2,400 to 2,500 trade lanes, which means that a customer can book on a virtual EQ ship. We might be using underlying capacity from any shipping line, but we operate it like a daily service or every Thursday or every Tuesday, Friday, those kind of services from Busan to Hamburg or New York to Navasheva. That's how these services run, and we operate like a shipping line without any underlying capacity. The comment that you're referring to of 90% plus equipment utilization, that was in specific context of the equipment business, which is a non-core business, a small business that we operate. While that business is non-core and that we have continued to reduce the capital employed in that business, we have also ensured that that business also operates in the most efficient way. And as an outcome of the sustained efforts there, the equipment utilization, which is in the crane segment, which used to be in the 50s and 60s, has now come to near 90%. That is the number which perhaps you are referring to when it comes to equipment utilization. It is not in context of any of the four core businesses that we are talking about. I hope I am clear.
Yes, that is clear. But then, you know, generally, how do you see the growth panning out here in this? Maybe the first quarter may be affected because of the lockdown, but otherwise, what are the factors, the triggers that you think, you know, is the acquisition or, you know, just back on the global trade?
Yeah, so if you look at the growth that we have been able to showcase in the international supply chain business, we have two key products. The LCL volumes grew by 18% year on year, and the FCL volumes grew 21% year on year. In the FCL, we have had this growth over the last 7 to 8 years, and it is sustainable because we still have a very small share in the market. On the LCL business, while we have the largest market share in the world, we have still been able to grow at very high growth rates, driven by digitization initiatives, operating at scale, and strategic acquisitions. A combination of all these three has allowed us to be operationally most efficient, and it is a business of scale. Ultimately, the profitability and ability to serve customer better depends on how well can we utilize the space in a container, because we are aggregating various cargo shipments into a common container. So therefore, there is further headroom for increased utilization improvement. There is headroom for growth in market share driven by higher competitive play. We today own about 14% market share in the world in LCL business, and we see opportunity to increase this market share, which means that we can grow faster than the market growth rates. In here, there could still be some pockets where we are not present or we have a relatively lesser presence, where we could look at more acquisition opportunities as well in a very strategic way. But if you look at the organic growth itself, the two biggest drivers of global trade today are cross-border commerce, with smaller businesses participating more and more with the advent of technology platforms for cross-border trade. And we see e-commerce trade, both which is within the country but being serviced by manufacturing across the border, or even the cross-border e-commerce. Now, all of these are leading to a further increased growth rate of the LCL business. And this is not over a 3 month or a 6 month or even a 2 year horizon. This has been a sustained trend over several years and is estimated to continue for a very long period of time, wherein the small business cross-border commerce and the e-commerce will continue to drive the global trade growth, leading to a significantly higher LCL trade growth as compared to the overall container growth rate, which itself is significantly higher than the overall global trade growth for last 5, 10, 15 or even 20 years. So there are enough growth opportunities in the market and opportunities for us to continue to differentiate further and grow market share for us. So all the opportunities remain open. We do not see any headroom limitations for growth in the international supply chain business. And in the express logistics business in the country, it is among the fastest growing segments. And Gati has lost a significant market share. There is an opportunity to regain that market share by building world-class infrastructure and operating the best-in-class services. Similar approach on the contract logistics side, we have a significant headroom for growth. And on the CFS ICD business, again, we have witnessed a very robust growth, and we see there are opportunities to expand in other related domains such as inland container depots, the ICDs which we are working on. So these are the factors which have contributed to the growth in the years gone by and would continue to drive the growth in a more efficient way as we use technology to our best advantage.
All right. So I have a last question. So, stone deal, you know, what is holding back the deal?
To you, Mr. Baroy, the audio is breaking from your line, sir. Please check.
Hello. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I didn't know about the Blackstone deal, you know. So what is holding back the deal?
I would request my colleague people to share an update on the Blackstone transaction.
Yeah. So on the Blackstone deal, as you're aware, when we signed up the deal, that time the construction was still underway. So most of the warehouses are almost towards completion, and we expect all the approvals and permissions to come in the next couple of months, say 2 to 3 months, and we should be able to complete with that.
Yeah, and just to add to that,
First quarter.
just to add to that, there were certain procedures which were beyond our control, wherein we were not in a position to offer clear guidance, and it was an estimate. However, I'm glad to share that those steps have already been completed now over the last few weeks gone by, and therefore the timelines that we are indicating are more definitive, and we should be able to see the consummation of that transaction in the next 2 to 3 months.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Prashant Kumar Hazariwala, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning, sir. Hello.
Yeah, we can hear you. Please go.
Good morning. Congratulations for this set of numbers. I have two questions. First one is, we have seen a tremendous growth year-on-year. So how do you see going ahead? What kind of growth we can expect? Like, ballpark range you can give. And what about the EBITDA numbers, operating margins that came around 7%? So how do you see that operating margin going forward? The second one is regarding Gati. So are we planning to release Gati from here and merging to the AllCargo? That's what my second question is. Thank you.
Yeah. So to answer your first question, which is around the growth from here on, as I mentioned, we estimate the top line to grow faster than the underlying market growth rate. The market growth rate is driven by dynamics beyond our control, but they are all estimated to be in robust growth rates as estimated by various advisory and research firms. We as management are confident of outperforming the market and increasing the market share. That's the extent to which I can share the revenue guidance. And with all the digital initiatives, be it about on the back-end operations or on the customer-facing touchpoints, it should allow us to operate more efficiently, and therefore the cost should also stay in control, which means that there should be an opportunity to grow the bottom line at a faster rate than the top line. So that's the extent to which we have been able to share the guidance. We cannot provide any specific color to the numbers, but like I said, we will grow faster than the market and improve the margins by use of digital initiatives. And over the last 2-3 years, there were a lot of transformational steps undertaken. So therefore, naturally, the growth rates have been significantly exceeding the underlying market growth rates. So this is the kind of guidance I can share for the quarters or the couple of years to follow. The good part here is that all the segments that are high priority segments contributing to almost the entire top line and bottom line are all very well placed for strong growth as an industry as a whole. So therefore, we are well placed as far as the growth is concerned. Secondly, to respond to your question on Gati, there are no such plans. What we have shared as an update is that the board has advised to see what is the most rational structure, keeping two objectives in mind. One is simplicity, and second is to provide the best enablement to the corresponding business to drive its growth. It should have the financial flexibility required. It should have the strategic independence. And with these guidelines from the board, we as management would explore various options along with our joint venture partners there and make recommendations to the board. And as we move forward in any direction, we'll keep everyone updated. So that's all we can share on that. Thank you.
Final question. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chetan Shah from Abakkus Asset Manager. Please go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, hi. Thanks and congratulations for good set of numbers. Just two quick questions, Ravi, if you can help me understand. You kind of mentioned that in our LCL and FCL business, we've grown at 18 and 21%. Our market share is roughly about 14% in this space. Could you just give us some flavor about the competitive scenario in this area, and which are the routes or the locations where we see next couple of years where there is a good amount of consolidation is possible, so that we can have a relatively better market share and we can grow ahead of curve? That is my first question. And second question which I have is about the CFS business. So you in one of the slides we have mentioned about the Jhajjar expansion and all. If you can tell us when this ongoing capex is done, how do we see growth happening in this business going forward, please? These are the two questions I have, Ravi. Thanks.
Sure. So I would provide you a brief commentary on the competitive landscape in the international supply chain business. Naturally, it's a cargo network business which requires presence on origin and destination, and there are global networks which compete with each other. There are few key global operators such as All Cargo EQ Worldwide, which is the world's largest LCL consolidator. The second, we have an American company which goes by the name of Vanguard. Third is an alliance between two companies, Shipco and Saco. And then there is a Global Link network. So there are these four global networks. And then there are a large number of small operators confined to a specific geographic region or to a specific country, who operate on various trade lanes. Number of trade lanes that they operate in and number of geographies that they operate in typically is much more limited. No one else has a scale completely comparable to us. The nearest competitor would be sitting at about 10% market share. And we have significantly expanded the gap, wherein at one point in time we were number two. We crossed the number one, and every year we continue to expand the gap by growing faster than the market. The competitive landscape is such that customers require service and they require a wider presence as well, which means that an exporter shipping to multiple destinations may not want to operate with different logistics partners directly or indirectly, and therefore companies which have a global footprint stand to benefit. It is for this reason why some of the well-established regional players who are part of other global networks are also strategically aligned to seek cooperation with EQ Worldwide. It was in this direction that we identified a strategic opportunity and pursued it for a good couple of years to ensure that it was the right fit, and it was not, and this was something which we went in with an ambition to achieve our market supremacy in the Scandinavian region. And because of the strong global network and the footprint and the way we have been modernizing our infrastructure and digitizing our customer touch points, we were able to convince Nordicon to get acquired and form the joint venture, which acquired all the businesses across all four countries. This is a testament to the fact that EQ Worldwide operates the world's strongest LCL network. Now, as this happened, this company was operating with a competing network, and as we acquired this in the month of July last year, effectively from November onwards, those volumes also started coming into our offices across the world. So these are the kind of, you know, I'm just giving you a flavor since you asked for it, in terms of how our capabilities on the digital side and the scale at which we operate allows us to strategically target entities to acquire. And also within the organic landscape, we are able to offer customers far superior service by having both reach and the service capabilities. The number of trade lanes that we operate perhaps far exceed even the majority of the world's largest shipping lines. That's the scale at which we operate in terms of offering fixed committed departures across the sailing from across the world. So that's what allows us the platform to continue to drive growth on the international supply chain business. Speaking on the CFS side, you asked about the expansion plans into the ICD side. So naturally, the container terminals in the country require extended arms to manage the container throughput in an efficient way. And we are glad that the country has had the CFS ecosystem, which allowed the ports to remain fully operational without any compromise on the functionality, like what we have seen in the most developed economies of the world as well, facing significant port congestion because of evacuation challenges. So we saw how PFS infrastructure plays a critical role in the container logistics of the country, which is poised for significant growth on the back of increased consumption as well as export growth driven by various government initiatives and the private enterprise efforts. Now, as we move beyond the CFS business, where we already cover all the key container terminals in the country, the biggest opportunity lies in the ICD business, which is going to go through a paradigm shift with the dedicated freight corridor becoming fully operational. The speed at which the rakes move would significantly improve to more than double, and with the length also doubling, with Cobra trains and high-speed double-stack electrified tracks becoming operational, rail logistics will become significantly more competitive than it has ever been in the country. And that should lead to a conversion back from the road traffic to rail traffic. And we intend to benefit from that shift by strategically placing our assets in connectivity with the dedicated freight corridor. We expect the DFC, the first major Western DFC, to be fully operational by end of the next year. And that is the timeline with which we would also look at aligning our ICT development at Chhajjar. And we continue to evaluate other such opportunities where we stand to benefit from the dedicated freight corridors, and we can contribute to the efficiencies and service levels in the trade, primarily for the Exim cargo and for the domestic cargo as well. So that's the opportunity ahead of us. And as we have seen, the government is committed to more such dedicated freight corridors being set up across the country. As these get set up, we also estimate that the older railway tracks with line with connected logistics parks may not be competitive enough as compared to new logistics parks being set up, or some of the old ones which will connect to the dedicated freight corridor as well. So at All Cargo, our strategy in the terminals business is to explore the ICD business completely aligned with the new age infrastructure in form of the dedicated freight corridors. And that is where Jhajjar is the first one, which is already work under progress, and we would evaluate other options as well. I hope that answers you.
Yeah. Thank you, Ravi. This was like amazing answer. But just can I ask a couple of small clarification, please, if you don't mind?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. So, one quick thing. When you spoke about the opportunity in EQ worldwide and the market share gain and few of the opportunity, can you just tell us the acquisition which we did in last couple of years? How is that shaped up in terms of integration? One is that, and second in terms of our digitization of the entire business model. There is some mention of that in our PPT, but we can explain in terms of percentage where we reached and in what time frame you think we'll be like 100% completely digitized, so that we can take an advantage and improve our efficiency dramatically in this business. That's my question, please.
Yes, I think like I mentioned sometime back, the digitization has significantly improved. It used to be about under 10% a few years ago, and it is already near 60% for all export bookings. So digitization initiatives have been going very well. And as far as the acquisitions are concerned, our joint venture in Korea has performed exceedingly well. It was a fresh business, and we have been able to significantly scale it up, making it among the top 10 performing countries across the world. On the Nordicon acquisition, the base on which we had acquired the company has more than doubled its profits post-integration with the EQ Worldwide network, with all the, and there are clear indicators driving that, be it in terms of container utilization, conversion to more efficient 40-foot containers, more direct trade lanes. All of the things which we were strategically planning for through this acquisition have been achieved, and which is what has led to a very robust performance in their acquisition.
Just Ravi to add, so if you see the history of All Cargo, or for that matter EQ also, there has been a fair amount of inorganic growth over the last few years, starting from USA, China, some in Europe and all. So all along we have been fairly, done this fairly well in terms of the integration and growth for all of the acquisitions that we've done. And more so the recent ones as well. So at I don't think so. From an integration perspective, there are any challenges across any of these acquisitions.
Thank you. Mr. Shah, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. The next question is from the line of Akshay from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to know that, Sweden and Finland have recently announced their decision to join NATO. So how would this impact us and any, what we can say, negatives which we can see from this development?
We do not see any impact of this on our business. We do not hold any expertise in the geopolitical matters, but with the limited knowledge, even Mr. Putin has remarked that he does not have any objections to Sweden and Finland joining NATO. So beyond that, we are not in a position to comment any further, but our understanding from both our local offices and from what we learned from our economic advisors and experts on geopolitical matters that we read about or listen to, it does not appear that it should have any impact on the trade disruptions in those regions, and therefore is unlikely to have an impact on our business either.
Okay. What would be our revenues coming from those areas?
So I would not be able to share the exact percentage breakdown for each countries, but it would be one of the top 10 regions, all four put together.
Okay.
And if you look at the split, of the business, like I said, mentioned earlier as well, and that is what allows us to kind of navigate some of these, regional geopolitical situations, is that today we have almost 20% coming in from Europe, almost 15-20% coming from Americas, 25% of our business comes from the Indian subcontinent, Middle East and Africa, and about 35-40% comes from the APAC region. So it's a very well-diversified trade flow that we manage under the EQ Worldwide network.
Okay, that's great. Also, sir, you did mention about dedicated freight corridors and increasing what we can say thrust of the government on these corridors. Recently, there was a news regarding railways is considering scrapping up of some dedicated freight corridors already and existing the expanding the existing lines. So, any development regarding that on our business?
So, these are extremely long-term projects. I do not see them having an impact in the short to medium term. If you look at the history of the Western Dedicated Freight Corridor, it has taken almost a decade for it to come from policy to execution. So, these are going to be structurally advantageous long-term infrastructure initiatives for the country. But in the short to medium term, which is if I look at the next year or next 3 years in horizon, I would say most of the development would still be focused on the first phase of freight corridors, which is the Western and the Eastern DFCs, which are going to be operational, fully operational soon.
Okay, that's great, because government was facing a lot of acquisition problems in these corridors, so that's the reason they were planning to scrap these things.
Yeah, so like I said, these have always been long-term infrastructure projects which have always taken time. There have been land acquisition issues. So which is why, as far as we as a company are concerned, we tend to focus on things which are in our control, and therefore it's a huge opportunity coming our way as a country by making full use of the Western Dedicated Freight Corridor itself as it becomes fully operational. And if you look at that, NCR is the biggest origin in that cargo route as well. So which is where we have focused on that, and we are building up the logistics park with ICD capabilities in Jeddah. And we would keep our focus on the soon-to-be operational dedicated freight corridors rather than the ones which are in the pipeline or at the policy level.
Okay, that's great. That's it from my side, and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh Chanwar from Centrum PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So we are considering merging our contract logistic business with the express logistics. Sir, if you could help us understand conceptually how these two businesses are co-aligned and what all synergy benefits we can get in terms of network optimization. That would be helpful.
Yeah. So at this point in time, like I mentioned earlier, we are evaluating various options involving our express logistics, contract logistics, e-commerce, and other businesses underlying in Gati, GKEPL, and at All Cargo. We are in a very preliminary evaluation stage and discussion with joint venture partners. We'll be able to provide more color on this in at a more definitive stage.
So just to add, I think Ravi, what he's trying to say is that how is it aligned? So basically, if you look at our business segments, there is an international supply chain business, which is international. The contract logistics, the warehousing and distribution business, the express, that are both domestic businesses and they are aligned. So that's the reason, you know, it typically makes sense that both of them, them sit together. So that's the logic of the business to being thinking about being it together.
I was just trying to understand what are benefits it could possibly have if we if we decide to go ahead with it.
So, from an industry perspective, the contract logistics business has an extended arm of express distribution for its warehouse and the distribution. Whilst we provide the contract logistics on the warehouses in one of the businesses, the express distribution business is handled by Gati. So that's the kind of interplay between the two businesses.
So there are opportunities, as you mentioned, which we're evaluating. There are opportunities on the network optimization as both businesses have a pan-India footprint. There are opportunities on the client servicing models as both cater to the same set of customers seeking diversified logistics services. And there are a multitude of synergies which we are exploring in arriving at what's the right structure, whether to keep them separate or merge or look at some other restructuring options. And there are multiple options to that which we'll evaluate and we'll come back at an appropriate time.
Okay, sir. And my second question was regarding the freight rates in our NTO business. So now that supply side issues are normalizing, it seems from June, July, as China opens up again, so how do we see the freight rates going forward in medium term?
So we believe that as the China lockdowns ease and it opens up, there could be a short-term spike in the freight rates driven by significant demand in the short term, which is next couple of months. In the medium term, which is say next 6 to 12 months, we believe the freight rates to be largely stable and in a 12 to and maybe marginally decline as they normalize with increased efficiencies in the trade flows, with some of the congestion issues being resolved. So we believe that there could be a marginal decline on the freight rates, but in the immediate term, as China immediately opens up, there could be a upward spike and which could then normalize over the coming months. That's the broad estimate we have.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chetan Shah from Abacus Asset Manager. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Sorry, Ravi. Just one small question in this ICD business. Could you just give us some flavor that once this DFC gets completely operational 3 years down the line, what kind of volume growth is possible from what it is today versus what it can be in next 3 to 4 year time horizon? I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about in general the growth of the volume potential.
So basically, there are two categories of cargo. One is the Exim cargo and second is the domestic cargo. As far as the Exim cargo is concerned, there could be an additional shift of about maybe a plus 5% to a plus 7% kind of. These are very broad level estimates I am sharing based on our, or rather I would say my personal understanding on this, which could be a further shift towards the rail business. What would be the key thing would be that within the rail business, today also it is coming on the old rail network, coming through the network of ICDs, but as the DFC becomes operational, this state will become far more efficient. It will arrive in a much more timely manner. The same inventory could be utilized. So therefore, it may be a significant development on the Exim side would be in terms of improvement in efficiencies, in terms of time as well as the cost of transport, as it will get more rationalized. On the domestic side, over the last three decades, rail used to be the primary carrier of domestic freight, which shifted to road over the past 3 to 4 decades in a consistent way. Over the next 5 to 7 years, with a good network of logistics parks driven by government policy incentives and private operators coming together, there could be a potential opportunity of an up to 8 to 10% shift back from rail to road in terms of the share of cargo carried on the domestic side. That's the high-level ballpark estimates, which I would say are a significant impact on the reversal of trade flows from road to rail.
Thanks. Thank you so much, Ravi. Wish you all the best to you and your entire team.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vipul Shah from RW Equity. Please go ahead.
I have two questions. First is, sometime last year, we had announced that we had appointed Jefferies to advise us on the ECU business. So just wanted to understand, where are we in terms of that process? And the second question is, on the NCLT, on the scheme of arrangement, I believe the stock exchanges gave us the NOC sometime in the last week of March, and now we are, very close to entering the month of June. So have we actually, I believe the next step would be making an application to the NCLT. So have we made that, and where are we in the process? Thanks.
Yeah, so on the NCLT process, basically we have got the NOCs from the exchanges, and there were a couple of other updates which have gone back and forth. And we estimate the process to conclude in another week to 10 days. And then the next step, as you rightly said, is to file the scheme with NCLT, which should happen subsequently. And then from there on, it should take about 9 to 11 months. That's the broad estimate that we have. So that's as far as the NCLT process is concerned. And yes, we had appointed Jefferies as an advisor to explore the landscape and the opportunities that exist. And also, while we appointed Jefferies to evaluate the opportunities on the fundraise side, we also continue to evaluate our own requirements in terms of the acquisition-led growth and strategic partnerships. It was an appointment which has been made, and it's been at a very preliminary stage in terms of exploring the landscape. There are no significant updates on that to share at this point in time, and we would perhaps share updates as we progress in any direction on that. So at this point in time, I would not be able to share anything significant on that.
So are we to consider that, the potential Jefferies, mandate is right now, on hold, we will pursue anyways, the growth which we have shown is phenomenal. So we will pursue our own strategy, or are we still engaged with Jefferies?
Yes, I wouldn't say it's on hold. I would say we continue to evaluate our strategic capabilities and opportunities. Naturally, we have been able to successfully, perform on the two acquisitions which have witnessed significant growth, which we did in the last 2 years in the international business, which is where Jefferies has been acting as an advisor. And we have been able to also grow the business significantly. Therefore, both these acquisitions were funded through internal accruals without having to increase the debt in that sense, and therefore there is a ability to drive some of the acquisition opportunities in through the internal accruals. There are also opportunities to continue to attract top talent across the world, which we have seen in the last 12 months as well, which is also helping us drive the organic growth across various key markets. So they continue to be our advisors, and we evaluate the fundraise options, among other strategic priorities that we have, and we'll do what is in the best interest of the business, and we'll share update at an appropriate time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you all for joining. On behalf of myself and my colleague Bipul, I would like to thank you for taking the time out and learning about the company and asking relevant questions. We are thankful for your participation on this call. As management, we are committed to sustaining this growth momentum and would continue to work towards it and keep you updated on any strategic decisions or initiatives that we undertake for boosting the growth of the company. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of PhillipCapital India Private Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.